Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan.
Mary.
Why you bugging? B.
Two offensive linemen getting healthy. Cincinnati.
Especially if they win this weekend, they get a week off.
Woo.
Have you looked at the spreads yet for this weekend?
Nah.
It's kind of interesting. I mean, just an early look, because maybe it'll move a bit.
I think it will.
Well, before you look, what do you think the spread is for KC Cincinnati?
I would think KC favored by 2.5.
What if I told you the Bengals are favored by 1.5?
Oh, really?
It's kind of crazy, right?
No, not crazy, because they went to Buffalo in the snow and just handled them like it was like, oh, this is our home. And they beat them 3 times in a row.
And Mahomes might be hurt.
That's the main reason. If Mahomes is healthy, then the 2.5 I think I put out there would be right.
Yeah, I thought it'd be like 3, 3.5 even, but it's gone the other way. And then Eagles, Niners, what do you think that is?
Eagles, Niners, I will give Eagles -2.
2.5. Pretty close. Landfill set.
I'm coming for you, Bees. Coming for you.
Landfill said something, and there's a bunch of stuff I want to get to. Our guy Ben White joins us at 12:30. I don't know if we've talked about this comeback player of the year thing, but the NFL has announced a ton of awards for NFL honors coming up, I guess, 2 weeks and a day. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks from tomorrow is NFL honors. Before we get to that, because I think we should talk Dotson, I think we should talk Brian Robinson. Landfill said this thing is pretty interesting. About the unsung heroes for every NFL team.
Yeah.
Did you look at that yet?
Yeah. I agree with him, too.
So, this is from NFL.com. They said the unsung hero for the Commanders, second-year safety Derek Forrest.
Yes.
I'm reading here from NFL.com. They say, Washington gets a lot of praise for its defensive strength up front, but the player who jumped off the screen to me in 2022 was this second-year safety. Evidently, Ron Rivera's staff felt similarly, moving Forrest from a rotational role into a starting spot in the second half of the season. The Ball Hawk finished with 4 interceptions, 9 passes defensed, and 88 tackles, and his hard-hitting style produced 2 fumbles, one of which he recovered. I love watching this guy play, and he always seems to be around the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I thought Defoe had a really good year.
I totally agree. I think later on in the year, he began to make some mistakes as a young player, but he did so much right in the middle of that thing to where he was making a play weekly, you know? And every time you saw something, a ball on the ground, a ball in the air, he was the guy to touch it, you know? And it's just something that happens to people that lives around the football.
I think you look at kind of some of these young DBs, Cam Curl, Derek Forrest, maybe St. Juice you want to include, Jeremy Reeves maybe you want to include, although he's not that young anymore. But a lot of really good players there, and I think some really deserving players to call unsung heroes for sure. Who else would you think of for the Commanders?
Unsung heroes?
Part of me, offensively, I feel like Curtis Samuel made some really important plays for them. I don't know if he's unsung, especially because he got paid.
Curtis Samuel got paid and he came in, so he was a little late to the party because he was supposed to be doing that already.
I think if St. Juice hadn't got hurt late and was able to stay on the field, Especially as those games grew in importance.
I might go with Young Buck a little bit, middle linebacker.
Davis?
Because he played well. After Holcomb went out, he played well.
And then he got hurt. But yeah.
Yeah.
But can you be an unsung hero when you're a first-round pick?
Yeah, when you had the first year like you did, when they had you trying to do stuff that you're not capable of doing. When you let him do what he was able to do, what he's supposed to be doing, the dude played great. I would go unsung hero at all the guys that were in their rotation on the left side at DN.
Yeah, that's true.
Because, man, look, those guys were holding their own.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at that collection of dudes, who'd you have? Effie Obada, Casey Tuhill, James Smith Williams.
Yeah, the three name crew.
I'm curious. I'm going to try to find that real quick. What the three of those guys added up to. So Effie Obada had 4 sacks. Now, Obada did push inside some, but Obada had 4 sacks. James Smith Williams had 3, so now you're at 7, and Tuhill had 1. So that's 8 sacks from your left side of the field.
Mm-hmm.
How many do you think Montez Sweat had opposite all those guys?
What, he had like 7, 7.5?
He had 8. So, and Chase Young played the last 3 games of the season. So the three-headed monster, for lack of a better word, kind of only got 14 games.
They held their own though. I know I'm not.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think as far as an unsung hero goes, that's about, because I would say it's Curl, but I think Curl is kind of sung about, right?
Curl
and locally. He is
no longer unsung.
Especially if they do the smart thing and pay him.
Yeah.
Like they should.
Even if they don't pay him, Curl has already proven that he's a player. Player from the Himalaya.
What would you say about Rashad Wild Goose, Landfill? Who is the unsung anti-hero?
Who?
Like the...
You mean the guy who sucks that nobody points out he sucks?
Yeah. This is the job for Landfill.
That's tough because there are obviously some terrible guys on the team. The kicker, whatever the hell his name is, he's bad. Dax Milne, he sucks. That Bill Jackson III, he was terrible, but they got rid of him. I think the guy, this is something that I've brought up a few times that I think is going to be controversial, but I actually think that Cole Holcomb is not very good. I think that the defense improved substantially when he stopped playing.
Where are you at on that, B? Because Landfill has said that.
But I agree with him.
Landfill kind of says some stuff.
Listen, I watch him, and he runs all over the field. But, I mean, I see him running himself out of plays a lot. I see him making too many tackles down the field instead of making them in the area he really supposed to be making them. And I think that comes because he does get himself out of position. And he has the speed to catch up with people. But a middle linebacker tackling somebody 10 yards down the field is not great to me.
It'll be interesting what they do there because Holcomb's a free agent, I believe. I'll confirm that, but I think he's headed to unrestricted free agency. When I saw him at locker cleanout, he's unrestricted free agent. When I saw him at locker cleanout, he was on the little scooter joint. You think he's back?
Don't know.
They didn't draft him either. Yeah.
Right. At this point, I think they need to not be worried about who they drafted, and they need to be trying to get players and try to get people can help you. You better let them help you.
I'm with you. All right, I wanted to switch gears here. The comeback player of the year award, which is one of these kind of ambiguously titled awards. The 3 people nominated for the comeback player of the year. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, and Geno Smith. Now, Saquon had a really good season. Certainly not taking that away from him.
Mm-hmm.
But he played a lot. He played 13 games in 2021.
Yeah.
What is he coming back from?
Well, it's a comeback from the comeback. But I just think that if you don't get comeback player of the year, the year after your injury, then I'm not, no.
You shouldn't get it two years after.
He played 13 games.
Right.
He played last year. So, no, he's out of it.
He shouldn't.
So now
I don't even think he should be nominated.
Christian McCaffrey played last year too, didn't he?
McCaffrey played 7 games last year.
In the end or in the early part?
I can look it up, but I mean, in 2021, McCaffrey played in 7 games.
In 2021, he played 7 games. Though I need to see if they're early or late, because if he got hurt.
They were both. He played weeks 1-3, and then he played weeks 9-12.
I can't go along with that either.
Right?
I think Geno Smith should win it.
Well, here's my question. Geno.
Did he get hurt?
Was a backup. No, he wasn't hurt. He was just a backup.
Well, they want to give him the gun back because he actually came back. He was a starter that went to a backup was lost.
He hadn't been the starter since 2014.
I know. So that's why they're looking at a comeback right now.
I just feel like
I just think Geno Smith is more or less. I don't know. Like I said, even you bring in Brian Robinson.
Brian Robinson is ineligible for the award because mm-hmm. he's a rookie.
Yeah, and that's what I said. That I said that when we were discussing it earlier, as soon as he came back, you know, you have to be coming back from something. Now that you said all the other stuff, hell, did they not have anybody that came back last year? Because those three people basically should be disqualified. Because Geno Smith did nothing he didn't get hurt from anything. He was just a backup. And then this year he got a chance to start. So is that eligible for comeback player?
So Jordan Renan covers the Giants for ESPN. Good guy. He's a Terp. I know Jordan. He tweeted this out, and I think it's pretty relevant. He said, we need to rethink what this award is about. Saquon played 13 games the previous season. Geno was mostly a backup on merit. What are they coming back from?
Yeah.
This award should be for guys like Brian Robinson and or Nick Gates. Their journeys define comeback. We know here what B-Rob did. He was shot in August, and he was running the football on an NFL field in October.
I understand that, but I still think when you bring a comeback player for what it used to be, I don't know what the hell he's going to. He doesn't qualify.
Right.
And it sounds crazy, but you know what? I'm talking about based off the merit of what it was. If somebody that got injured on the field and that came back from it, I don't see the other three guys you named either. Because Christian played.
Right.
He came back already. Okay? He came back in that season. Saquon came back in the season.
Well, how about Nick Gates then? Nick Gates, I think, plays guard. Maybe he's a tackle. He's an offensive lineman for the Giants. He broke his leg week 3, 2021, against the football team at FedEx.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the Thursday night game?
Yeah.
Where Heinicke hit the tight end in the corner for the game-winning touchdown?
I remember that one.
Yeah. Nick Gates.
Guy that's on another team now.
Yeah. Suffered it's three-name tight end. I'm blanking on it. What was his name? Lanville, what was the tight end's name? Ricky Seals-Jones.
Yeah.
He had a compound fracture, which means your bone's broken in more than one place.
Mm-hmm.
Required 7 surgeries.
Okay.
He got back on the field for the Giants in week.
Played that season last year?
No. Was out all of last year.
So he played this year?
Played this year.
He should be the one that wins it.
Bro, he came back week 10. Started every game for the Giants the rest of the year.
He should have won it. Based off of what this thing used to be, he should walk away with it. But let's look at what they did, okay? Saquon Barkley in New York. Running back, first-round draft pick. Ooh, let's get that name in there. Christian McCaffrey.
That's kind of what it seems like.
Christian McCaffrey. Oh, high-profile name. And then we got a quarterback position. They're trying to make every award just about the glitz and the glamour, the big name, instead of what the hell it's supposed to be. All 3 of those guys should not be even able to win that. The guy Gates, based off of what it was, walk away with it.
And there's probably other guys that had real big injuries that we're not thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I just Saquon feels like a really egregious nomination.
You played 13 games, well over 85, 90% of the season. You were back last year.
Brandon Graham had a big comeback for the Eagles. Dude, you and I joke about this. The Giants really do run the league.
Hey, they run it. But it's just, you know, the league, the problem is that we sit here and we complain, all of us. But nobody ever take the team, the league to task. And they just do what the hell they want to do.
Brandon Graham, this is from Jacob Sports. Brandon Graham recorded a career high in sacks after coming off a torn Achilles, and he was 34 years old.
He tore his Achilles late in the season, didn't he?
Tore his Achilles in 21, had a career high in sacks in 22.
So why isn't he on that?
Because Saquon came back from having a down year in 21.
That's straight BS.
Yeah, right? I mean, Brandon Graham played two games in 21. Mm-hmm. Played all 17 in 22 and had 11 sacks. You got the wrong guy, man. Josh in Upper Marlboro wants to weigh in on the comeback player of the year. What's up, Josh?
Hey, fellas. What about Trent Williams, man? He got his whole dang scalp removed, got shipped across the country, had to deal with our crazy team president, and came back and is balling out of control. What about Trent?
It's been two, three
it's
years
It's been a
now.
Couple years, yeah. It's been a little I mean, his first overboard. Year with the Niners.
Yeah, but when you get your scalp removed, it should last for a couple years. You know what I'm saying? Like, you should.
Thank you, man. Appreciate the call. When we return, let's talk money. Let's get rich, Ben White.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink. Think what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Joins the program. Time to get smarter.
It's Ben's Day.
Who doesn't need to get smarter? Happy Ben's Day, ladies and gentlemen, to help us celebrate our friend Ben White, chief economic correspondent for Politico, the founder of Morning Money, our guy Morning Money, Ben. Ben, what's going on, dude? How are you, bud?
Hey, man. Every day is Ben's Day in my world, but I'm happy to Wednesday, Ben's Day for you guys. How you guys doing?
We're good, dude. I guess every day is Ben's Day in your world. That's very true.
Not really, but you know, I'm happy to bring it to you all when I can.
So I want to check in with you. Let's start Commanders. How are you feeling about the offensive coordinator search?
I'm a bit confused by, like, I know the names in play. Shermer doesn't excite me much at all. I don't know that much about Zampezi. I mean, seems like decent quarterbacks coach. I don't know that much about him. Charles London's kind of interesting, I think, as a possibility. But my other question is, like, how attractive is the job itself to any of these candidates, given questions about ownership, given questions about, you know, just sort of the future and direction of the team? Like, do they get the pick who they want? And, obviously I'd love to see them shift to, you know, dominant running team too, but they got good passing weapons. So, I'm sort of lost on it. Like, I don't have a favorite candidate or a person in mind who I think would immediately kind of revolutionize the offense and get it clicking away that Scott Turner couldn't. I mean, I don't know. What's the front runner thinking down there now? Is there one?
I don't know if there's a front runner thinking. I think I hear certain people say certain names. Many people are surprised they don't hear bigger names, but the bigger names early on was like, no, we're not going to interview.
Well, I think of the names that have been considered, certainly the one with the most experience is Pat Shurmur. Shurmur and Rivera were together on the Eagles staff many years ago with a young man named Brian Mitchell playing running back. and Shurmur, there's some discussion if Ron wanted Shurmur back in 2020 when he took the job, and Shurmur had just been fired by the Giants. I think, to me, Shermer's the front runner. Zampezi, all things considered, with the job, how much long-term job security there is, maybe you just promote within. Zampezi is and I'm not trying to take personal shots, probably my least favorite candidate. I think things went really poor when he was calling plays in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I agree.
Let me ask you this philosophically.
Yeah.
Would you rather hire, because the people they've interviewed so far, you have people with experience and largely a poor track record, but they do have experience, or you have people without experience. Philosophically, which direction would you like to see them go?
You know, I'm tempted into the less experience, but potentially bigger upside. Shermer, like, we should give him credit. You know, it didn't work out in Denver, but, you know, his I think it was the Vikings at 13-3, you know, NFC championship team under him. It was really, you know, helpful with Case Keenum there, so you got to give him credit for that. I mean, it was Philly for the run to the Super Bowl, and, you know, he's got some positive experience as an OC, maybe not recently, but it's there, so I think it's in him. But you know, this team feels, I don't know if there is a new Kyle Shanahan out there, one of these, you know, young guns who could make this offense hum. But if there were one, I would lean in that direction rather than somebody who's got a lot of experience, but maybe not all successful experience. But I would, you know, sort of defend Shurmur as a possibility, given that, you know, he has had significant success running a couple of offenses with, you know, medium to good quarterbacks, not necessarily world beaters. So he'd certainly be an improvement over what we've seen, and I agree would be better than Zampezi because the play calling when he did it was bizarre. So I just don't think that's a great idea. So philosophically, I'd say if there is a really smart, capable young coach out there who they could get and would be really good, I'd go that way. If not, then Shurmur, I think I'd be okay with. It would just be a little bit unexciting, and it could be just more kind of the same mediocrity.
But Shurmur, his best year I see as an OC, 13-3 with the Vikings.
And yeah, that 17 then, year is
since
is,
then
a great year.
His best year was 7-10 as a head coach or OC. And he had four of those years. It seems like he has a lot of down years with a couple of peaks and then the rest of them are down, which I will be wondering if you're trying to go out there and make sure you get it. You think this is finally his down year because he's had four that weren't good?
Yeah, he's ready to spin a gem in the next one. Yeah, that's kind of a lotto. But, yeah, Brian, I'm exactly with you on my thinking on him. You know, I just wanted to point out, as you did, the 17 year and then, you know, the Foles year, which I guess was 13 in Philly, you know, 27 touchdowns, 2 picks. I mean, that's, you know, Foles did that. But, you know, Shurmur was calling the plays, so he gets credit. But more recently, nothing too great. So I'm like, Shurmur you know, I think he'd be okay, you know, and maybe he does well and it's an improvement. And I don't know who the other magic bullet person would be. I don't spend enough time in the ins and outs with all of the various coaches around the league who are young and up and coming. But if that person were there and they could land that person, I would aim in that direction. If not, of the named candidates so far, Shermer seems like probably, you know, the best of the lot, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, my take, for lack of a better word, I'm not anti-experience. I'm anti-poor experience.
Like, yeah, no, I agree.
They asked to interview Daryl Bevel, who I think would have worked well for this team. He's a run-first guy. He was a part, whether it was a small part or a large part, he was a part of Russell Wilson's development in Seattle. I would like Bevel. He said, I don't want to take the interview. He has good experience as an offensive coordinator. Look at the Dolphins this past season.
Yeah, totally.
I think of these guys, I would go towards the guys that don't have experience and see what they got.
Yeah. What about like a Charles London or something like that?
I'd be more – honestly, I'd be pretty intrigued by Studsville. Thomas Brown is the guy I've been saying all along that I really like his potential as a coach. If I was Thomas Brown, though, I'd be a little worried, like, okay, if I'm going to get my first crack at calling plays for a team that we're unsure at quarterback and we're unsure at O-line.
So the owner, is that what I want?
Yeah, like, how does this help me long-term? I think for London and Studsville, they're both in their 50s, I believe. Like, these are guys that haven't gotten the opportunity, and maybe they just want to jump on the opportunity. So,
and Studsville, I mean, you got to credit what he's done in Miami.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's just, that offense cooked, man.
Absolutely dynamic.
He's done a lot of stuff in a lot of places, but we'll I mean, the whole thing about it is I just think that, you know, this is a year where you have to really go out there and get something done. I think you might want to just try roll a dice for something crazy.
And there's also the looming specter. Sure, but what about Bieniemy? Could the Bieniemy thing be a real thing? We won't know probably until next week. So coaches on teams going to the Super Bowl are allowed to conduct interviews during that Pro Bowl week, during the first week.
Right.
So if they want to, they could maybe interview Bieniemy next week. Bieniemy has an expiring contract. That is one more layer, is could there be more names coming? I don't think, if you look at the four teams still playing, I don't think any of those OCs would consider this job or even consider the interview, except maybe Bieniemy.
Yeah, and why would he consider it, given that
the opportunity would be the primary play caller? And frankly, if I was Bieniemy, I probably wouldn't consider it. I'd want to.
I wouldn't either. I mean, you're in the one of the winningest teams.
You have
in the
a chance to go from being around nothing but greatness to your stuff may not work.
This mess. Yeah. I mean, who knows? You know, I love the name. Like, I love the guy. What he does in Kansas City is obviously superb. I mean, he's got Andy Reid, you know, and lots of people are successful with Andy Reid, but I think he's the real deal for sure, and love the way their offense works. But they also have Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and a whole bunch of other people who don't have.
Lots of
life. You never know. But I like the idea. I mean, definitely I would have him on the list if he's willing to take the interview. I would be kind of excited about him as an OC if that's a possibility. I just don't know if I were him, if I would take that, you know, roll that dice.
Talking to our friend Ben White, chief economic correspondent for Politico. You see him on CNBC all the time. Give him a follow on Twitter and Instagram at Morning Money Ben. I did want to ask you about this report from the New York Post that said Jeff Bezos would consider selling the Washington Post to buy the Washington Commanders. This is kind of your world. This is newspapers and publishing and billionaires.
Yeah.
What do you make of the report? Let's start there.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously the headline popped big. I was like, oh my God, this is huge breaking news. And if it's true, it would be, and I'm not saying it's an impossibility as a scenario, given, you know, they're laying off people at the Post, and his relationship is kind of awkward there with staff now, and maybe he does, you know, want to move on from that investment, and that would clear the path a little bit to buying the Commanders, given, you know, Snyder hates him over the Post's coverage of the team, much like he hated me when I was at the Post and covered the team from a business perspective. I just can't tell from that story whether how real it is, you know, because the sources quoted are kind of people familiar with the process. I mean, as far as I recall, there's nothing in there from people directly involved in the deal or close to Bezos. So it kind of felt like one of those where you talk to a source or two, kind of spins you an interesting yarn about what could happen, and you just roll with it and throw the headline out there. And I think a lot of other people agreed with that take, because I didn't see a ton of pickup on it. Like, yeah, I mean, sure, some places followed, like SI put something up and just quoted the report. It's one of those where, sure, maybe your boss tells you got to throw something out that cites the Post, but yeah, nobody is saying, has endorsed this as like a legit thing happening. I don't think it's like that. I don't think it's imminent. I don't think he's immediately going to sell the Post and go for the Commanders. Is it impossible that that could be a scenario that plays out? No, it's not.
So of the scenario, I do kind of listen. The NBC4 reached out directly to the Post. They said, we're not for sale. Even in the New York Post story, there were repeated that Bezos told senior management, I'm not selling it, and that a Bezos spokesperson told the New York Post they weren't for, nothing was for sale. So all of that is
nothing
possible.
Nothing is for sale until it is, of course. But
well, let's clarify a couple of things. There's no way Bezos needs the money from selling the Post to buy the Commanders, right?
No. It would not be anything to do with money. He's got that stacked from here to, you know, the nearest inhabitable planet in the universe. So that's not the issue. The issue is really, you know, can he assuage conflict of interest concerns and, you know, make Snyder happier and more willing to sell to him if he is no longer the owner of the newspaper that Dan Snyder hates and has hated forever and wants to burn to the ground. That would eliminate that to some degree. But it wouldn't eliminate it entirely, because Dan Snyder is a personality person. You know, once he hates somebody, he hates them no matter what, whether he still owns the Post or not. So I don't know that it would sweeten it that much. But maybe he'd declare victory that he forced Bezos to sell the Post, and that's, you know, some big thing he did. I just think it is a really speculative story by the Post based on sources not directly connected to the matter. And whoever wrote it may win the lottery and wind up being right, or it won't happen and it'll be forgotten and get no blame for being wrong, which is how these things often go.
Well, the coverage from the Post was before Bezos took over, right?
I mean, Snyder's hated the Washington Post long before Jeff. I mean, when were you working there, Ben? When you pissed him off?
Yeah. Well, this was 2002 or three, something like that. You know, it's a long time, 20 years ago, basically. And he
tried to get you fired, didn't he?
Yeah, he tried to get me fired for writing that he was a bully as an owner of his company, forcing analysts to put buy ratings on his company. And he called the executive editor, he called everybody else, said, we're going to cut access to the team if you run this, and you should fire this guy. He doesn't know what he's talking about. But the sources were bulletproof. The story was true. It ran, and he did nothing, which is what bullies tend to do when they don't have a leg to stand on and are guilty of exactly the thing that you had written. He's hated the Post for a long time. He's anybody who criticizes him. And the fact of the matter is, he's run a great franchise into the ground over 20 years. He'll still make a bunch of money off it, but he immiserated the fans and decimated the team. And that's his legacy. And whether he likes it or not, he's got to live with it.
Yeah. But
that's just a fact. That's what happened.
There is a part of me that you're so right. And I've seen this unfold where people will take what can make sense in a completely hypothetical world and try to make it real. Is there a part of me that could see Dan enjoying making Bezos sell the Post? Which would, let's be real, that would hurt the Post. Having Bezos' money behind them puts them in a stratosphere that not many newspapers enjoy.
Yeah.
Believe me, they've hired like crazy and hired great people and pay them good money. And, you know, I don't know exactly what's going on with the layoffs now. I mean, I guess everybody is preparing a bit for the idea of recession, and there's pressure on a lot of newsrooms to, you know, trim down for that. So that may be part of that. He doesn't need to do it. I mean, he could take losses for years on that thing. The Graham family certainly did. Lots of newspaper owners who are billionaires from other industries and not really needing their newspapers to turn a profit, we'll just ride through recessions and take the losses and then, move on. I guess maybe he's not that. He wants it to be profitable at all times, and who knows? But yeah, he doesn't need the money from it at all. Could it be true that maybe he would rather have the Commanders? I don't know that to be the fact. I don't know that Bezos has a burning desire to be the owner of the Washington Commanders. He may, but I'm not privy to that.
We don't know. Ben, we know this. Yeah. We appreciate your time, and we always get smarter.
I love being on with you. Always do. Have a good rest of the week, my friend.
Hi, brother.
Thanks very much. That's our guy, Ben White. Give him a follow on Twitter and Instagram at Morning Money. Ben, one of the smartest Commanders fans out there. Don't go anywhere. Mock draft season.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit PitchHitRun.com today.
1 o'clock. Stallion in the building. Look out, ladies. B, you think when the Stallion walks in, what's his club out in Fairfax? Fats? Tuesday Fats or something?
Fat Tuesdays.
Fat Tuesdays? You think when Stallion walks in the club, all the girls in the club text their friends like, oh, S,
that's
there
that
he
fool
is.
Again.
There he is.
There he is.
You think
he
they
will
start,
buy you drinks.
They start fighting about who gets to go home
anything.
With him. No, I'm going home with him. No, I'm going home with him.
I don't think that's what they do.
And then they're like, wait,
no.
He lives with his parents?
And no, I'm not doing that one. I don't see that.
Mock draft season, 1 o'clock. Landfill, give me a little X-Files.
Please do. You need X-Files.
Jeff Duncan is a columnist for the New Orleans Times Picayune.
Picayune.
I once tried to get a job there, B.
You did?
Did not get it. Did interview, though. Cool building. Mm. Jeff Duncan from New Orleans, boots on the ground, says, latest update on Sean Payton. He completed his interview with Carolina on Monday in Charlotte and will meet with Arizona officials Thursday, as previously reported. His second meeting with Denver has been delayed. This is per Jeff Duncan. In my opinion, the longer this goes, the likelihood of Payton staying at Fox increases.
The longer what goes?
The longer it goes without him taking a job, he'll just stay doing TV.
Yeah. Keep
the X-Files going, Lamphill.
I watched him the first 2 weeks, and then I see him on the third one. He got better because the first week, I was like, dude don't know where he's at, what he's doing.
Diana Rossini, ESPN. National added this. I was told there is also a team waiting in the wings, watching all of this, and could make a move if they get, and in quotes, their ducks in a row.
So, who do you think that team is?
I don't know, Brian. But I know what team has the most unorganized ducks in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. But that's a lot of getting ducks in a row, because I would think if she's talking about this team, she would have to know who's getting the ownership. You know what I'm saying? If there's a talk that this team will be sold by March or very soon, as people have stated, wouldn't you have to know who that is to be able to say it's this team?
I'm not saying it is this team. I'm just saying if there's a move out there that could be made if a team gets their ducks in a row. I'm being serious. Does any team have more ducks not in a row than Washington?
No, but I'm just saying the head duck is not even out there right now based off of what things are now. So
I know one team with a lot of ducks and they're not in a row. I mean, if you're a new owner and you want to make a big splash, outside of trading for Aaron Rodgers or something, B, what would you rather have happen? Trading for Aaron Rodgers or getting Sean Payton?
Give me Sean Payton.
I can't confirm if Jeff's awake, but let's ask what he would think.
How much money will be on the books for Aaron Rodgers this year?
He'd have to rework his deal. It's the only way.
But if he were to come and he doesn't want to rework his deal, you basically are not getting many people to come with him.
Jeff?
Sean Payton. I don't want...
What team has the most ducks flying anywhere they want, not in a row?
Whack, 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 whack. You said not in a row?
Yeah.
Us. The Washington Commanders. And I do not want... I don't want no veteran quarterback. I don't want no old man coming to our team right now. It just does not work for us. It may work for every other 31 teams in the league, but for us, it doesn't work. So no, I do not want Rodgers here.
But you'd be into Sean Payton.
I'd be into Sean Payton. It's coaching, and he's better than what we have now.
Landfill, as a lifelong Eagles fan, would you be nervous if Sean Payton landed in Ashburn?
A new owner would make me more nervous than Sean Payton. Because which
new owner might be competent.
Yeah, exactly. As long as Dan Snyder is the owner, nothing makes me nervous. But a new owner could potentially be competent, and then they could start, you know, actually trying to win and making smart moves.
Mm.
And that would be a difference from the last 20 years, 20-plus years.
Mock draft season, next!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.